Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from today's Holy Gospel found in St. Matthew chapter 18, where Jesus says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." This is God's word. This morning, I want to wish each and every one of you a Merry Michaelmas. That's what today is. Did you know that? The reason we call Christmas, well, it is Christmas, is because it's the Christ Mass, the celebration of the church on the day of Christ's birth. Today is Michaelmas, because today in the church, on our calendar, it's the feast of Saint Michael and all angels. Maybe you didn't even know there was such a thing. September 29th, and there's a whole bunch of these dates on the calendar that commemorate how God has worked in this world through people, through the faith of those who have gone before us, and how he has preserved his church through those who have spoken his word. And today in the church, September 29th, is Saint Michael, who's not a person from what we can tell, but the chief archangel. And so today is the day in the church that we give thanks for the work of God through his angels. Now that's a fun topic, because we don't really know a whole lot about the angels, do we? And you know, there isn't really a place in the Bible where it gives you a detailed description of exactly what angels are and what they do. I mean, we have a section in the Bible, you know, Romans 6, that goes in on baptism, right? 1 Corinthians 11, Holy Communion. Genesis 1 and 2, creation. You know, we have four Gospels to tell us of Jesus' death and resurrection. The angels, you just kind of get sprinkled throughout Scripture here and there. And you know they're there. But what else do we know about them? You know, one of the most favorite possessions that I have is my Grandpa Binger's old Bible that he used to keep at his kitchen table and he'd write notes in. And I know for a fact that my grandpa was fascinated by angels, because every time there was a reference to one, he'd underline it and write at the top, angel. There was a reference on that page to an angel. So let's learn a little bit about angels today. One of the things we have to do is understand what angels are not. They are not what you've seen on TV in the movies. They are not Michael Landon in Highway to Heaven. They are not Roma Downey in Touched by an Angel. Kids, if you don't know what shows those are, ask your parents. They will know. They are not Precious Moments figurines type things. I know a lot of you probably love Precious Moments figures and artwork and figurines. You know those little statues that have kind of like the big sad doe eyes and the little smile, and some of them are angels with little halos and feathery wings on them and big droopy gowns that they look like they might trip over. That's not an angel. The other thing we have to remember is that angels are not people. This is really important. I can't tell you how many times I have seen someone on Facebook after someone has lost a loved one, and someone says to them, "Well, now you have a special angel in heaven watching over you." That's garbage. And I mean, I don't say that on Facebook, because that, you know, be kind of rude when someone's grieving to call out the theology. But it's really, really poor theology. We need to remember that. People and angels are different things. The book of Hebrews talks about that difference. The angels serve God. They serve Christ. And you know what? They serve us as well. God has created them for our benefit. You get talk of angels in our gospel today, and Jesus sort of interweaves it in with this talk about children. So maybe they are more like little Precious Moments figurines? No, they're not. The angels aren't chubby little children, but angels do have something to do with children, as Jesus teaches us today. He says, Jesus, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, we tend to think of heaven as the place where the angels are. Maybe that's why we like the idea of someone we love becoming an angel. The idea that there's someone in heaven who's looking out for us. But the Bible goes even further. What good are the angels if they're up in heaven? The angels are here among us doing the Father's work. Not their Father, because they're not his children. They're doing the Father's work of caring for us and protecting for us. What does belong to heaven is children. The kingdom of heaven, though, isn't just the place we go when we die. The kingdom of heaven is found wherever God is reigning and doing whatever God does. You know, when we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come," we're usually thinking of heaven, aren't we? We want heaven to come. We want to be in heaven one day. That's part of it. But the kingdom of heaven is also right here, where God is doing what God does, forgiving the sins of his people, giving out his gifts, and protecting his dear, dear children. That's why he made the angels, to care for you and protect you. Because he loves you, his children. He says that you are his children. Because he says heaven is filled with children. And the reason that God calls you his children and Jesus refers to you as his children isn't because of the way we might think. And maybe you've heard me say this before. I know I've said it on another occasion. But we tend to think of children, well, we love kids, don't we? We had a baby born in the congregation this past week. And that day after the baby was born, I went to see it and got to hold it and pray with the family and those who were there. You know what the first thing I did was when I got home, I told Heather, I got to see a one-day-old baby today, because we love that, don't we? We love little children, right? We love them. They're so cute and they're so adorable. They do such little things. They're so innocent. Probably not, but that's how we think of them, right? They're helpless. In the Bible, though, children are not described as something that we should view as innocent. And that's why God calls us that. Children are helpless. Children need the constant help and provision of their parents. In biblical times, you realize if you had a baby, that baby wasn't going to help on the farm. That baby wasn't going to help harvest the crop. That baby wasn't going to plow the field. That baby wasn't going to mend clothes. That baby wasn't going to milk the livestock. No, that baby could do nothing for you. It required constant attention and care and provision and protection. That's how you and I are. We can do nothing in and of ourselves. Don't we normally like to kind of pat ourselves on the back and think about how well we've done for ourselves here in this world? How much we've accomplished? We look at ourselves, we might look at our cars and our trucks and our recreational vehicles, our houses, our clothes, our possessions, and we think, I've done pretty good for myself. We've done all right. Yeah, this is good. But the reality is, without God's angels, you wouldn't have been even able to get out of bed this morning, much less make it to church. Scriptures call the devil a roaring lion who prowls around seeking someone to devour. The book of Revelation in our second reading today talked about angel being the angel Michael, the archangel, casting the devil out of heaven along with the other fallen angels. The devil's first goal was to attack Christ. And so we read about him tempting Jesus in the wilderness. But then Jesus dies on the cross. And it's finished, he says. It is finished. Salvation's accomplished. Satan can't stop Jesus from saving humanity. So he turns his attention from Jesus, and now he focuses it on you. You are under attack by the devil every single day. You're tempted with pride, that's the devil. You're tempted to do something God has forbidden, that's the devil. You're tempted to stay in bed on Sunday morning rather than receiving God's gifts, that's the devil. You're tempted to hoard what you have instead of supporting the work of the church and serving others with what you have, that's the work of the devil. Whenever you lust, whenever you're filled with greed, whenever you're filled with pride, jealousy, all of it, that is the devil at work. And he is after us every moment of every day. Of course, we are not hopeless in such a scenario. Our Lord God has joined us to his Son, Jesus Christ. We are baptized into him. And he protects us with his angels. Apart from these things, apart from the help of the angels, apart from God, we would be like a newborn baby left in the woods. What chances would you give a newborn baby left out in the woods? Let's say this time of year, what did we get to? About 38 degrees out last night? If a newborn child was left outside, how long would that child survive? An hour? Maybe two? Definitely not overnight. If that would happen, it would be miraculous. You know, we're under a similar kind of threat. Because we're God's children. We're helpless. We need protection. We need his care. And dear friends in Jesus, he has given it to you. You're his children because he loves you and promises to provide for you and protect you. He would have you stay away from the sin which divides you from him. So when Jesus talks in our gospel today about if your hand should cause you to sin, cut it off. If your eye should cause you to sin, cut it out. He's not telling you to go mutilate yourself. He's telling you that he wants nothing to keep you from him. On the cross of Jesus Christ, all our sin is paid, and we have the proof that the Father loves his children. Not because we're cute and precocious and God the Father somehow wants to pinch our chubby little cheeks. No, we are children because we are helpless. And yet we have a Father who gives us everything we need. Though we might be here in the wilderness of this world, and that metaphor is intentionally. Remember in the Old Testament how Israel wandered through a wilderness? We're in a wilderness too. Remember how Israel was brought out of slavery to wander in a wilderness and then go to a promised land? Well, that's our story too. We've been brought out of the slavery of sin. We wander the wilderness of this world until we reach the promised land of a new heaven and a new earth. We are not alone in the wilderness, as Israel was not alone in the wilderness. You are not alone. You have angels to guard you, to protect you. The idea that we each have a personal guardian angel sort of comes from this text where Jesus says about the children, their angels always see the face of their Father who is in heaven. It sounds as though he's implying that each child of God has an individual angel. I think the Bible tends to suggest and make it more clear that we don't just have one angel. We've got angels everywhere. A multitude of the heavenly host guarding us and protecting us at all times. Because you have a Father who loves his children. He loves you. And he keeps you in his care. Always. And you find that on the cross. You find it in the meal you receive today of Jesus' body and blood. You know you have a Father who loves you, that He's a God who has a kingdom of children and angels. A kingdom where those who belong to it are His children, not just physical children, all of us. God loves all His children, whether they're 3 days old, like the one I saw in the hospital, or whether they're 95, 96 years old, 97, 98, 100 years old, no matter what age, no matter who we are, no matter where we are all the children of God. Every person you meet, whether they're a Christian or not, they are someone who God has loved as one of His children. They are someone who God loves and desires to shower His love upon. The good news is that means you. No doubt about it. The angels care for you because the Father cares for you. Because Jesus has died for you. Thanks be to God that this is what the angels are. Not people. Not chubby little babies with wings and halos. But servants of God, created to protect us. Yet another reminder of the loving Father we have, who is always there for us. Amen.